Welcome to today's deep dive. If you take a look around our immersive backdrop today, you'll notice we're sitting in this very sleek, high-tech executive boardroom.
Yeah, complete with these holographic data charts just floating in the air.
Right, floating right above this massive mahogany table, which I think is perfectly fitting for the enterprise focus of today's conversation. I want you to picture the scene.
Set the stage for us.
It is March 2026. Your company's board enthusiastically approved that massive multi-million-dollar AI budget last year.
A very common scenario, right?
Exactly. Matt? Your teams deployed all the shiny new generative AI tools. Everyone has a new co-pilot or an assistant sitting right there on their desktop. And now, 6 months later, the CFO is sitting across from you in a boardroom just like this one.
Staring you down.
Staring you down and asking the single most dreaded question in enterprise tech. What exactly are we getting for this investment?
Oh, man. It is the defining question of the year for technology leaders. We have officially moved past the initial hype phase of artificial intelligence.
Right, where just procuring the technology was enough to impress the board.
Yeah, exactly. Procurement is easy. But we are now firmly entrenched in the accountability phase. As we often discuss on this deep dive, knowledge is only truly valuable when it is understood and applied.
Totally.
And right now, the reality is that most enterprise organizations have absolutely no idea how to apply rigorous financial measurement to their AI tools. They're operating entirely in the dark.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we have our hands on a brand new, highly comprehensive March 2026 report by the enterprise AI consulting firm Technegian.
And it's a critical read.
It is. It's titled The Enterprise AI ROI Framework.
Our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how to stop guessing if your AI is actually working.
Right, and start measuring it with the exact same ruthless financial rigor that your company uses for every single other capital investment.
Because the statistics in this report outline a massive, frankly alarming disconnect happening in the corporate world right now.
The numbers are staggering. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you have this 2025 study from MIT showing that a staggering 95% of enterprise generative AI projects failed to show any measurable financial returns within their first 6 months.
That is a phenomenal failure rate for any enterprise initiative, let alone one with this much operational capital behind it.
Seriously.
To see a 95% failure rate in demonstrating value, well, it means there's a fundamental flaw in how the technology is being deployed, not necessarily a flaw in the technology itself.
And it actually gets worse.
Oh, I know.
Over 80% of organizations are reporting absolutely zero measurable impact on enterprise-level EBIT, earnings before interest and taxes.
Zero impact on the bottom line.
Zero. And because of that lack of measurable impact, 42% of companies completely abandoned most of their AI initiatives in 2025.
You just threw in the towel.
They did. That is up from 17% the year before. But wait, with the sheer volume of capital being poured into this space, how is a failure rate that high not causing absolute panic in the C-suite?
There is absolutely a quiet panic happening behind closed doors.
Mm.
But what's fascinating here is the underlying cause of that divide. Because the report flips the narrative entirely when you look at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, despite all of those high-profile failures and abandoned projects, the companies that are deploying AI strategically are seeing incredible numbers.
Massive returns.
The report highlights that those strategic players are reporting an average return of $3.70 for every single dollar invested.
That is a massive contrast to the 95% who are failing.
It is. You'd assume the winners just bought a more expensive tool, or maybe they had access to some secret advanced AI model that the failing companies didn't.
That is the assumption most executives make, yeah.
Yeah.
But the data proves otherwise. The differentiator between the companies failing and the companies seeing that massive 3-to-1 return is pure measurement discipline.
Just discipline.
Just discipline. Organizations with structured ROI measurement and governance frameworks in place are 2.5 times more likely to report significant value.
Because the measurement framework literally forces strategic prioritization.
Exactly. It forces leaders to establish clear success criteria before a single software license is ever purchased.
So it isn't about the algorithm. It's about the accountability. I want you, the listener, to think about your own workplace for a second.
It's a great exercise.
When it comes to the AI tools your company has rolled out over the last year, are you in the 95% that are just guessing and hoping the tools make people faster? Or are you in that small, highly disciplined percentage that is actually tracking the financial impact?
Because if you are in the guessing group, you are likely falling into some very specific traps.
Right. The Technetian report breaks down exactly why these ROI calculations fail so often, and I want to explore these landmines so we can help you avoid them entirely.
Let's do it.
So let's talk about the companies that are actively failing. What is the fundamental trap they are falling into first?
The absolute most common failure mode is deploying without a baseline.
No baseline at all.
None. Organizations are rolling out AI tools without ever documenting their pre-deployment metrics. You literally cannot measure your improvement if you didn't document how long a specific process took before the AI was introduced.
Or how much it cost.
Right. It is the corporate equivalent of starting a strict diet without ever stepping on a scale on day one. You might feel better, but you have no hard data to prove to the CFO that the investment actually worked.
This seems like such an obvious step to skip. Why are enterprise leaders ignoring the baseline?
Because baselining is tedious. It requires workflow audits and time tracking. Executives are often in a rush to deploy the shiny new toys.
True, everyone wants to move fast.
But without it, you inevitably fall into the second major failure mode, which is using the wrong metrics entirely. People constantly confuse adoption with impact.
But wait, isn't adoption a prerequisite? You need people to use the tool before it can have an impact.
It is a prerequisite, yes, but it is not the goal. Adoption is just tracking how many of your employees log into the AI tool each week. That is a vanity metric.
It looks good on a dashboard, but it doesn't mean much.
Exactly. Impact is tracking the actual business outcomes that improved because they logged in. If you have high adoption, meaning everyone in the marketing department is using the tool, but there is absolutely zero productivity gain or cost savings, you actually have a negative ROI.
Because you are paying for the expensive enterprise software licenses without getting any tangible business value in return.
You are essentially just paying for people to play around and generate fun emails.
Which leads right into the third trap the report identifies. Unrealistic timelines.
Oh, this is a big one.
You have executives expecting these massive financial returns in 60 to 90 days. But the report notes that 84% of CEOs actually acknowledge that true, measurable returns take much longer, usually 6 to 18 months.
And then there is the fourth mistake, which is honestly the most common in large enterprises.
I found this one hilarious. The report calls it the sandbox trap.
Yes, the sandbox.
Where enterprise projects go to live a happy, isolated life, completely disconnected from the miserable realities of our actual legacy IT systems.
That is a perfect description. A company runs an isolated pilot program in a highly controlled environment. It looks great on paper.
But it never actually connects to a real production workflow with messy, unstructured company data.
Right. And because of this hesitation to integrate, the average company ends up scrapping 46% of their AI proofs of concept before they ever hit production.
Almost half of all pilot projects just thrown in the trash. That is a staggering waste of resources.
It is, and it ties directly into perhaps the most critical failure mode of all. Deploying these tools without fundamentally redesigning the workflow.
The change management piece.
Exactly. If an organization wants to see that sweet 10 to 15% productivity gain we always hear about, they have to formally redesign the jobs themselves and implement structured training.
You cannot simply drop an AI assistant onto a financial analyst's desktop, leave their legacy workflow exactly the same, and expect a miracle.
The failure to achieve AI ROI is almost never a technology problem. It is a change management problem.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because once you acknowledge that change management friction and fix those failure modes, how do you actually calculate the wins?
That's the core question.
Because traditional ROI formulas, where you just take the financial gain from the investment, subtract the cost, and divide by the cost, they just don't seem to capture the full value of what an AI assistant actually does for a team.
They don't, which is why the Technetian report lays out a five-dimension framework to capture the true value.
Okay, so if I'm a CFO, the very first thing I look at is the P&L. How is this framework translating an AI assistant into actual hard cost reductions?
That is dimension one, direct cost reduction. This is the highly visible, easily quantifiable impact that finance teams love.
We are talking about labor hours eliminated through process automation.
And a reduction in expensive human errors. The benchmark Technetian found is a 26 to 31% cost savings in supply chain and finance operations over a 6 to 18 month period.
That is a massive chunk of operational overhead to eliminate. But how does that differ from dimension two, which the report calls productivity and throughput? Aren't cost reduction and productivity the exact same thing?
Not quite. Direct cost reduction is about spending less money to do the same amount of work. Productivity and throughput are about doing significantly more work with the exact same headcount.
Ah, so it is capacity creation.
Precisely. The report uses some excellent scenarios to illustrate this.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a customer service team that currently handles 100 support tickets a day.
Okay.
With AI assistants managing the initial triage and drafting responses, that same team jumps to 140 tickets a day.
Or think about the software engineers mentioned in the report, going from completing 10 pull requests a week to 14 pull requests. That is a 30% reduction in review time.
Right. Let's contextualize that for an enterprise leader. If a 10-person engineering team is now doing the work of 13 people, you have effectively expanded your workforce capacity by 30%.
Without adding a single salary or healthcare plan to your P&L, that is value created out of thin air.
You are amplifying human output rather than just replacing human labor. And that leads directly into dimension 3, which focuses on revenue impact.
Now, this is notoriously the hardest dimension to measure because attribution is really tricky.
It is, but it's also the most highly lucrative when you get it right.
How do you even go about proving that an AI tool directly generated revenue?
To measure this, you need rigorous A/B testing and funnel analysis. You compare cohorts of sales teams actively using AI against those who are utilizing traditional methods.
So treating it like a science experiment within the sales floor.
Exactly. Currently, only 20% of organizations are successfully achieving measurable revenue growth through AI, but a massive 74% expect to do so in the near future.
And we're already seeing tangible indicators of that. Sales teams are reporting measurably shorter deal cycles when they use AI to assist with their market research, proposal generation, and client outreach.
Time kills deals, so faster cycles equal more revenue.
I was looking at the fourth dimension, which focuses on risk reduction and compliance. This seems incredibly relevant right now, especially considering the specific regions this report highlights.
Southern California.
Right. They focus heavily on enterprises in places like Los Angeles and Orange County, areas dense with healthcare, finance, and real estate firms where compliance is quite literally everything.
It can make or break a company.
And there is this one data point in the report that genuinely stopped me in my tracks. Visa reported preventing $40 billion in fraud through AI-enhanced detection in just a single year.
$40 billion.
It is an astronomical figure, and it highlights why risk reduction is such a critical dimension of ROI.
But it isn't just about preventing massive fraud events, is it?
No. Demonstrating these active AI security capabilities can significantly reduce audit preparation time for a company. Furthermore, insurers are taking notice.
Because lower risk means lower payouts?
Exactly. Robust AI compliance tools can actually lower a company's cyber insurance premiums, which is a direct, measurable financial return. So we have cost, productivity, revenue, and risk. What is the final piece of the framework?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we arrive at dimension 5. Strategic positioning.
This is the dimension that forward-thinking corporate boards care about the most.
Because it is fundamentally about competitive advantage.
Yeah.
The data shows that visionary AI players are experiencing 1.7 times higher revenue growth.
And 3.6 times higher total shareholder return compared to the laggards in their respective industries.
Yes.
But how much of that strategic positioning comes down to things you can't easily put on a spreadsheet? Things like talent acquisition.
A significant portion. Top-tier talent wants to work at companies that use modern, frictionless tools, not frustrating legacy systems.
Nobody wants to work on a green screen terminal in 2026.
Exactly. Then there is speed to market. If AI allows you to get a new product or service from concept to launch 3 months faster than your primary competitor, the strategic value of that first mover advantage is almost incalculable.
So what does this all mean for the executive listening right now? We know the pitfalls, we know the five dimensions of value. But how do we actually execute on this?
We need an action plan.
Right. The report outlines what they call the Technician Playbook for Secure AI Implementation. They specialize in helping enterprises, specifically across Southern California, so Irvine, LA, Orange County, actually implement this measurement framework.
It's a very structured approach.
Walk me through how an enterprise realistically deploys this playbook.
The structure of the playbook is designed to be a safety net against those failure modes we discussed earlier. Step one is the AI readiness assessment.
So before buying anything.
Before procuring any new software, they evaluate the organization's current processes and data architecture to find the highest ROI opportunities. Crucially, this is the stage where they establish those vital baselines.
And once the baselines are set, you have vendors promising the moon from every direction. How does the playbook cut through that noise?
That is step two, ROI first selection. This means aggressively ignoring the vendor hype and flashy marketing commercials.
You prioritize projects purely based on expected financial impact and time to value.
Exactly. It prevents the common trap of investing in an impressive piece of technology and then wandering around the enterprise looking for a problem for it to solve.
A solution in search of a problem. The third step in this playbook is the one that really caught my eye. They call it the two-week POC.
The two-week proof of concept.
A 14-day proof of concept sounds practically impossible to most enterprise CIOs. How does a company actually measure complex business impact in just 2 weeks?
The insight here is that you aren't building the entire finalized infrastructure. You are delivering a working proof of concept in 14 days using a company's actual messy, unstructured business data.
Oh, so avoiding the sandbox trap.
Entirely. By doing this rapidly and with real data instead of sanitized test data, they directly attack that 46% failure rate of isolated sandbox pilots. You know immediately, within 2 weeks, if the solution works in the real world or if it needs to be scrapped.
That makes total sense. Fail fast, but fail with real data. And then step four rounds it out with measurement and redesign.
This is where the long-term value is locked in.
This is where they build the real-time dashboards to track actual business impact, moving entirely away from vanity adoption metrics.
At the same time, they actively redesign the employee workflows to ensure the theoretical productivity gains actually materialize in practice.
The industry nuances provided in the report for these steps are quite revealing, too.
Oh, definitely. When you look at who is actually achieving these returns, financial services is currently leading the pack with a massive 4.2x ROI on their AI investment.
And media and telecommunications are right behind them at 3.9x. What about mid-market enterprises? If a mid-sized firm in Orange County is looking for the most reliable place to start, what does the data suggest?
The data points to three clear, high-yield winners for the mid-market. First is customer service automation, which reliably yields about a 30% operational cost reduction.
Second is document and process automation, particularly in finance and procurement, yielding 26 to 31% savings.
And third is software development acceleration, which consistently shows a 30% improvement in development velocity.
There is a brilliant pro tip tucked into the conclusion of the source material for anyone listening who is tasked with rolling this out.
The department approach.
Yes. Do not try to measure this enterprise-wide right out of the gate. Start measuring department by department first. This gives you incredibly fast feedback loops and clear attribution.
You can see exactly what workflow changes are benefiting the marketing team versus the finance team.
Right. Once multiple departments are running successfully and the measurement dashboards are calibrated, then you aggregate that data up to the enterprise level to present to the board.
Synthesizing all of this information, it truly comes down to a core philosophy about how we manage enterprise resources. Critical thinking and rigorous financial discipline are absolutely essential in a landscape flooded with technological hype.
It really is.
The organizations that are succeeding with artificial intelligence right now are not the ones with the deepest pockets or the most bleeding-edge algorithms. They are the organizations that define exactly what success looks like before they deploy a single piece of software.
They are the ones that measure their outcomes relentlessly against established baselines.
And most importantly, they possess the ruthless governance discipline to kill off projects that are not delivering measurable value. It is about treating AI not as a magical transformative solution, but as a standard capital investment that must earn its keep.
It is entirely about bringing accountability back to enterprise tech. If you are listening to this and you are thinking, I need to prove AI value at my company and earn my CFO's confidence, the source material explicitly mentions that you can get a complimentary AI readiness assessment directly from Technigian. Highly recommend looking into that.
You can check them out at technigian.com or give them a call at 949-379-850. They can help you figure out exactly where your organization stands regarding baselines and measurement.
Before we conclude, looking at how meticulously we are now measuring the output of these AI systems, a rather provocative thought emerges.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
If we are now successfully measuring AI's productivity, capacity creation, and output with the exact same ruthless mathematical rigor that we apply to factory machinery and capital investments, how long will it be before enterprise boards start demanding that human employees be measured by those exact same AI-generated baselines? If AI becomes the ultimate benchmark for efficiency, will you be managing the AI or will the AI's metrics be managing you?
Wow. That is a heavy, fascinating dynamic to ponder as these tools become more integrated into our daily workflows. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this conversation gives you exactly the structural insights and the aha moments you need to go into your next board meeting with total confidence. Keep measuring, keep demanding accountability, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.